You're listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
Hello, and welcome back to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. My partner next to me, obviously, is not Joby. It is nope. Jason.
I am not Joby.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, how's it going, Curtis?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. And
I'm legitimately on the show this time.
You're always legitimately on
I know,
the show.
I know, but usually I ninja my way in. And this time you guys invited me.
Ninja your way in. I just kind of sneak in underneath everyone without them knowing. No, well, hey, what's that? Jason is, Joby is out and about having fun this evening. And it was kind of a late, sort of scheduling thing. And so we're like, hey, Jason, what do you say? And Jason's up for it all.
I barely took time to think about it.
I'm going to let this text sit in my... in my box for five.
No, I think I was responding as I was reading the text. I was responding through my iMessage on my laptop while I was reading the text in my hand.
No, so. that's the best. No, it's and you know if you've been watching the show before, you know Jason has been on many times and always as you know, and not only when he's on, but he's also behind the scenes a lot of times too, helping us get set up and just hanging out with us and. And it's always, we always try to get him on, and he always has some really great, I don't know, flavor descriptions as we're talking.
I try to bring my foodie perspective in. I love beer. I'm not as well versed in beer yet. I'm still working my way up. I've got some homebrew friends. I've got you as my resident Cicerone to ping ideas off of. But I like being behind the scenes because the show is fun. We get to talk about beer. We get to talk about how it affects our lives. And not only just beer, but Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis is also about cocktails and beverage and socializing, so
it's a good time.
We're gonna do a little bit of all that today.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to, you know, this was maybe the first time that we've had a pre-show kind of warm up. So if you've been watching, good for you because you may never
good
ever
for us for that matter.
Right, you may never ever get to see that footage or hear it again. So it's always a good idea to. Follow us and watch us. We're on live Thursday nights and generally 7 to 8:30 p.m. Pacific time. And sometimes we start a little early. Like today we got everything set up. Everything was ready to go. And we just decided, you know what? We're doing a show about the effects of alcohol.
We got to get some of that in our system.
Right. We should probably have a little bit. And we're going to come at tonight's topic of responsible drinking from a lighthearted sort of...
This is your quote-unquote, and for those of you watching, air quotes, PSA about the effects of alcohol.
Right, and it's we both know, and anyone who listens to the show knows that I get a ride home after every single show.
Brought to you by?
We're driving, and it's a local DD service, and, you know, so you know how important I think sure. Getting home or drinking responsibly is. And so, but we're going to try and keep it light because we could get really...
We don't want this to get heavy.
No, we could get really bogged down. But one of the things that I think we can do is just show how much fun we can have and still be responsible. Now, Jason, I mean, from here, you live four blocks away.
Yes, sir.
So you're in good shape.
It seems like longer, though, after a few drinks, especially that last uphill stretch, that last block.
Yeah, there's a couple of hills here in Ventura that could kick your butt.
Thank goodness I've never had to bear crawl my way up the hill. Like, I've never been that bad where I just want to lean forward and crawl the rest of the way. But sometimes my thighs are yelling at me so loudly, I'm afraid the neighbors are going to hear it.
Yeah, and I live about, I don't even know what it is. Is it 20 miles away? I don't know how far it is.
Somewhere. I measured it because I was thinking about riding my bike to your house one time for the Pints and Pairing show, and it's like 26 miles.
Yeah, that's it's a ways, and we'll get to some statistics because I got some really great statistics about where the average DUI takes place, as from where you've left and all that kind of good stuff. And it looks like maybe you have got the same stuff in your.
Yeah,
your
I was fortunate enough recently. I help out with a local winery, Four Bricks Winery, right over here in the kind of the industrial section of Ventura. And every 2 years, they need to update themselves, make sure everyone's certified as responsible and safe. Service when it comes to pouring alcohol and pouring wine, and they put on a class recently with Project Safer right here in Ventura, and I went through the class, and it's all about kind of basic signs of when people are intoxicated, how to serve them properly, what the measurements are, what the calculations are for the different ABVs, as well as what your BAC may end up being based on what you're drinking, and go away with one, a certification saying I'm approved by Project Safer and the Alcohol and Beverage Commission to serve in a winery or serve in restaurants. And then I also have this little resource guide to carry around with us. So we're going to pull out a few things from here just so people have a good basis and understanding. I think there's a few myths out there that people either don't think about or don't have the right information on. So right. We want to get some of that out there.
Yeah, so we'll be getting to that in, 10 or 15 minutes, somewhere in there. But here at Barrel House, I mean, it's become a Thursday thing here that every Thursday is flight night, not fight night, not like you're going to come
not,
in here and
not
start
fright night. It's not Halloween,
and you're not going to start punching somebody in the face, which is has its own appeal, I guess sometimes. as I'm looking straight at you, like,
I know we're laughing what? About it, but that is one of the negative side effects of too much drinking. You know how many people will try to duke it out in a parking lot after they've been at a bar? Like, you may look at me sideways. You may have brushed against my girlfriend or, in my case, wife.
Hey, man. But wait, you've got a girlfriend?
No, I do not. I was trying to think proverbially, but let me clarify myself. You may have brushed by my wife or someone else's girlfriend, or maybe you picked up a drink that you thought was yours and it's not. And some guy wants to duke it out and show what a man he is. I'm like, come on. If you'd had one or two less drinks, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, dude, just let's bring it down, man. I'm just like the happy drunk. I don't want to fight.
Seriously.
So anyway, flight night here at Barrel House 101, located in right on California Street. I mean, it's the corner of California and Thompson. You can't get any easier to get to off the freeway. And, pick up your flights. So take a look.
Tonight we're featuring Oscar Blues.
Yeah, and they always post it, a good week in advance of the flight nights coming up. So go to, Barrel House 101 Facebook page or barrelhouse101.com, and you can find all of that. So tonight I have already finished my Dale's. And Dale's Pale Ale is... It's one of my favorites. It really is, and it's a go-to beer for me now.
It's a nice, easy drink with good flavor, not too high of a an ABV. Looking at 6.5%, so you can get through a nice pint, not generate too much of a buzz, and still get great flavor and a nice, refreshing beverage in your hand. I personally feel like there's some energy in the beers, though, and I'm trying to not show favoritism by guzzling any one taster, so they're almost all pretty even. But in a second, I'm going to have to go ahead and kill my Dales as well.
Well, and actually, you look at a 6.5% pale ale, and really, you're getting into IPA territory. So this would have been an IPA 10 years ago right here. And maybe that's why I like it so much, because I've always loved IPAs at that 10-year-ago mark. We talked about this a little earlier.
You didn't get the name Hophead said for nothing.
Right. And so I really like, because it has a nice warming sensation and everything else, but it's not too crazy over hopped. There's a nice malt backbone. It's a really great beer for a lot of different foods. And so I really like that. And I think 6.5%, I mean, after one can of that, I can feel it. And I don't know what it is about my age or anything, but I mean, I just posted on Facebook at I was kind of guessing about how many ounces I'd had here. Yeah. And at about 10 ounces, I blew a 0.19. That would land me in jail there.
Yeah, you'd be in trouble. Yeah. Now, the one thing to consider, too, we're using a pocket breathalyzer.
Well, I actually calibrated this with some official breathalyzer units.
Okay.
And it was almost spot on. It was like the 0.01.
And I personally never
higher.
Used one of these until tonight. So I'm skeptical and was skeptical coming in. I'm looking forward to either be proved wrong or to earn a beer from you, because
one of the reasons why it blew so high, though, and it's not because of that I'm intoxicated, it's that I finished a beer and I blew right into it.
Sure.
And so, that's something that we'll talk about later on too. But I blew right into it. But I mean, the Dale's is 6.5%, and that's the lowest ABV in this whole flight here.
Yeah, we're working our way up through all five right from there. I mean, I'm getting ready to kill off the Deviant Dale's, so we go from Dale's to Deviant Dale's, which seems like a natural progression, and that's sitting at 8%. It's an IPA. And one thing, just to throw out one of the facts right away that I was going to bring up throughout the show. One of the myths I think people still fall under is that, when we look at the measurements and the calculation, they say a 12-ounce beer is the same as a 1-ounce shot or a 1.5-ounce mixed cocktail or 4 ounces of wine, that actually is not a great basis to work from anymore, because a lot of the beers and a lot of the industry are working in those higher percentages and the creative recipes. That 12 ounces that you're looking at, when you try to compare how much have you had to drink, the ABC calculation is based on a 5% beer, not a 6.5%, not a 10%. It's based on a 5% beer. So if you have 12 ounces of a 5% light beer and 12 ounces of a 10%, you know, barley wine, you, that barley wine is actually counting for 2,
right,
percentage wise. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to think about those things when you're out having a good time. And it's not, the base calculation is no longer the norm.
Mm-hmm. So hold off on that deviant.
All right.
We'll go to the scotch, because I'm all done with the scotch ale already.
Do you want me to take it down?
And it was the Old Chub scotch. Take, and this is really their flagship.
And I like this. Great molasses in the nose. There's a little burnt sugar and a little caramelization on the palate and in the nose. And I just really like this drink. I wouldn't think to normally grab a scotch ale, like when I'm sitting at home, and drink a pint or a, you know, a tulip of it, but this is a really great scotch ale that I would keep in my fridge.
And, you know, we've done a scotch ale show before, and what's different about this one as opposed to a traditional scotch ale from Scotland is that there's an assertive hop presence in this alcohol.
Oh, yeah,
in
definitely.
This. And that helps clean it out, too. And so you get all those flavors, but in like a wee heavy, that'll sit real heavy in your palate, because there's not as it doesn't have the hop presence. It doesn't have the elevated carbonation that this one does too. So,
but as it warms up, it almost starts to lend itself to a cask style beer.
Right,
it's a little flatter. And,
mm-hmm. And I wanted to mention this because I'm not a big fan of scotch ales myself, but this one was really nice. And you know, it's pleasant outside. It's pretty hot in here and kind of sticky. And it's been hot all day long and all week long.
So hot in here.
So I wasn't looking forward to a heavy scotch ale. But this one was, so far of what I've had, it fit well in the flight, too.
What's the percentage on the scotch?
It's like 8%. Where is that?
Yeah, so it's not shy by any means. It's not a, you know, it's sit-back kind of beer. 8% is high.
Yeah. And the Deviant Dale, of course, is, you know, you get those, you'll see them all over the country now that they've got a brewery out on the East Coast. Asheville, I believe, is where it's at. You know, you'll see the Deviant Dales in 16-ounce cans, and the Deviant Dale comes in at 8%. So if you finish a 16-ounce can at 8%, you know, just talking about what we were talking about early on, that's like 2.5 times your serving.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got to be careful about that. About the serving. So we've got
just for fun too. I mean, if you're looking at beer, some people have unique quirky ways of picking their beers, especially if it's for a party or for friends. You can't go wrong with the name Old Chub. I mean, don't deny the scotch ale. Just go with the name. It's fun.
Is this an Eyes Wide Shut sort of party that you're planning?
Wait for your invite in the mail.
Come on over to my Eyes Wide Shut party. We're serving Old Chub. Hey, I want nothing to do with that one. I'm okay.
You can bring your 0.19 breathalyzer.
Yeah. I'm going to stay home. I'm sorry. I am unable to attend as I have a prior engagement.
I have to wash my hair.
Yeah. So anyway, the Deviant Dales is...
Am I free and clear now? Can I finish my Deviant Dales?
Yeah, go ahead. Thanks. I'm glad that you asked where you went.
You clearly have some kind of agenda, so I want to make sure I'm on target.
Right. Come on. Take your cues from me. You're doing a good job. I like it. No, but I wanted to get to Goodnight, because Goodnight is one of my favorite beers of theirs. And early on, I did a pairing with this beer, and it was the Gala Mushroom. The Gala Melon.
Eyes Wide Shut still.
the Gala Melon.
Okay.
Okay, right? Is that Gala? Is that right? It's not a honeydew, but it's still a green kind of...
Let's look it up. Let's go to the modern technology.
Or honeydew, but it's wrapped in prosciutto, and then it has a rosemary sprig in it.
Rosemary?
Yeah.
I've never heard or thought to do rosemary with melon and prosciutto.
And so you've got prosciutto, which has this really nice sweetness to it. And not to mention the salty meat. And then you get to the melon with this nice... Yeah, right there it is.
Yeah, it's the Gallia. G-A-L-I-A. There, okay.
And then... So, I mean, it just try it, people. Go home.
Interesting.
Cut it out. Wrap it around.
Melon and prosciutto is a classic kind of simple appetizer or pasta hors d'oeuvre. never would have thought to do with a rosemary sprig.
And so you've got this really great rosemary flavor, which really, with the herbal, grassy kind of hop flavors that you're getting, that you can find in this beer, they just, it was an incredible pairing. And I just came by it by accident. It was
haphazardly.
Yeah, I had a beer and I had these, and I was, and maybe the weekend before I was at something and they had these, and I thought, oh, I've got to find something with
sure.
this. And I was drinking this beer and I thought, this is what it has
and
to
I
be.
And I think it's a beautiful thing about drinking beer in the kitchen when you're cooking. We talk about this all the time on Pints and Pairings, is that bringing foods and beers together, a lot of times it's by accident. You are just drinking a beer that you enjoy while you're cooking or while you're prepping stuff in the kitchen because you want to stay refreshed and you want your thirst quenched. And you happen to take a bite of that food while you're tasting it and cooking it, mm-hmm. and then a drink of your beer, and you go, holy shit, that works. And then later on, you're like, I'm going to serve this as a pairing because I know for a fact the flavors go well together.
Yeah, and if you don't get anything else from this podcast this evening, the takeaway is...
Lock that in.
The takeaway is that anyone can do it. And I've got the best suggestions from people who claim they have no palate, they don't know what they're doing or whatever, and they come to you and they go, excuse me, and they say, wow, this kind of tastes like this. And you go, that is incredible. Yeah. That is so, I've never thought of it, because I come from I know it's going to sound really, really weird, but kind of an academic sort of stance looking at the beer, because I know so much about the chemistry, the history, and everything else. And so I look at it, and then somebody will say something just out of the blue who is, it's their first experience with it, and it's spot on. And it's a beautiful moment when you have that. And you just have to be willing to accept that.
And even if you don't taste what they're tasting, you have to respect where they're coming from, because there are history and stories and background that they're going to have, and references to foods and smells and events that are influencing what they're tasting that you don't have a background with.
No.
And that doesn't mean they're wrong. Doesn't mean you're right. It's a great excitement of having beer and food. And, you know, we got some awesome homemade chips in front of us. We got some chipotle aioli. And, you know, who knows? One of these could be the best pairing with the Oscar Blues. We're going to find out in a little bit. We're going to keep drinking beer and see how what kind of road this takes us down.
Yeah, I think you're blowing a 2.2 right now. I'm not sure.
Am I getting giggly?
Almost. You're getting close. Not
and
quite.
The pints haven't even arrived yet.
I know. So we're.
I like to think I'm holding my own, though. I'm up here doing, you know, a little research on Google. I'm able to pull up the proper melon.
Right. So and if anyone hasn't had the Galia, is that what?
I can't.
Okay. You've got to do this one, because this melon is the best of. It's kind of a. It's almost a combination of cantaloupe and honeydew.
Now, remind me where you grew up, where you came from. Remind the listeners.
South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Right.
Did you ever? And everyone knows that. Let me not say everyone, because there are a lot of cool people out there listening that have no idea who I am. The people around me, including you, know that I grew up in Indiana. Between South Dakota and Indiana, have you ever called it a muskmelon?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was yeah.
Excellent. Whew, God, I was worried I was the only one.
But that was the cantaloupe.
Oh really?
That was cantaloupe.
You mean
us.
I've confused it my whole life?
No, so that's what you call the honeydew.
Yeah, we used to call them honeydew muskmelon.
I may be wrong on that, but I was pretty sure that's what we called a cantaloupe.
Well, they often came together anyway, so who gives a damn?
Right, right. Well, and actually, where I grew up, because it was it's so hot and humid during the summertime, was the perfect conditions for melons. And so mm-hmm.
They got to be so sweet and juicy in that climate.
The produce, you know, seasonal melons in South Dakota are just incredible. Now, our seasons here in California are like twice as long.
They're pretty awesome.
And they produce fantastic melons too. But South Dakota, I mean, you know, soybeans and corn, sweet corn.
Boom.
South Dakota and melons, just fantastic.
No, while we're on the food kick, though, not to derail the show from what we're trying to accomplish, but we're in front of us, we have four IPA or hop-based beers, you know, with a strong hop presence. Fruit is an underrated pairing with beer. And the sweetness and the soft, juicy flesh of fruit can be an awesome, simplistic pairing with great beer. It brings out the sweetness. A lot of times when you're especially dealing with IPAs, the resiny, piney, citrusy, and earthy notes that come out of an IPA will heighten some of that sweetness in the fruit. And I think it should be a IPA could be a more summertime kind of beer if people would pair it with the right kind of food.
Yeah, and especially if you get Anything that's a little greener too, and there's just so many. It's just a great fruit forward beer on top. And you know, what the hops just give it such a great tropical flavor, or grapefruit citrusy flavor, whatever it is. And so it lends itself to all kinds of summer types of drinks or foods, I guess. I'm sorry, I was derailed by Jason deciding he was going to. Okay, yeah, so let it warm up. He's going to do an on-air here just to get us going.
We're talking about it. So in 4, 3,
and we'll watch.
2, 1.
I'll talk over him. So the pocket you have to blow into for anywhere 10 seconds or so, unless you blow really high, and then it stops you.
This is awesome. It's got a little emblem. Yelling, danger, danger, danger. Mm-hmm. If we can put that to the camera, I don't know if they'll be able to see it, but it's a red back screen in general, backlight on the screen. I blew a .19, and it shows this little flashing thing telling me danger, which actually is a little disheartening. Again, same as you, I finished my beer and almost immediately blew into the breathalyzer. So I'm going to wait a couple minutes. I'm not going to take any more drinks out of my glasses. I'm going to wait a couple minutes and do it again to see what the comparison is. But the fact that the little machine in my pocket is yelling danger at me is a little disheartening.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily disheartening. It's a nice awareness tool.
I agree with the awareness tool, but I think it's disheartening the fact that I'm relying on a little machine to figure out my BAC instead of just comfortably working through beers.
There's nothing disheartening for me about that. It's always knowledge is power, Jason. So I'm just getting into.
Take me back to my childhood days. What did G.I. Joe used to say?
Is knowledge is power.
Knowing is half the battle.
Oh, let's see. And I was in a G.I. Joe. Knowledge is power seems more like a.
Like something you heard in college.
Saturday morning, like Schoolhouse Rock thing. Maybe knowledge is power. Gubna IPA, 100 plus IBUs, and.
Do you think its name has roots in the South?
And it comes to.
Hello, Gubna.
Hello, Gubna.
Well, that'd be more British UK, but it's got to have there's something that's got to happen with the South. That Gubna, that kind of southern drawl, tongue getting in the way kind of thing.
I don't know, but as I'm reading the description here, I'm realizing why it's such a delicious beer, because it has rye in it. I love beers that have rye. Rye dries things out.
I like
out.
Rye in general. I've really been turned on lately by rye whiskeys.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bullet Rye Bourbon. There's something about the pepperiness, and especially when you're using rye in beer recipes, a lot of times it's toasted, and it adds that little bit of smoke and pepperiness that I really am starting to enjoy.
Welcome to the club.
Yay. Did I get a little badge?
Yeah, because Bullet Rye is fantastic, and it's a must. I mean, rye whiskey is a must if you want to make a good Manhattan.
Yeah, and if you're a traditionalist, rye is the way to go. I mean, anything outside of a rye, and people will start looking at you funny. I mean, if you really want to be strict on your recipes.
Yeah, purists will poo-poo you, certainly, if you don't use rye. But I've gone through a couple different versions of a Manhattan with different bourbons and a couple different whiskeys. And, yeah, you want the rye. So that's why I'm looking at this going, oh, hey, rye malt barley. There we go. That's why I like it so much. All right, so...
You notice, too, I'm drinking a little water over here. I'm trying to dilute my booze just a pinch.
I've had...
at the very minimum, stay hydrated.
I had that 20-ounce glass a little bit ago, right before we started, just to kind of make sure that I'm staying,
it's fun sound, isn't it?
Staying on top of my hangover scene, so I've got to get up at 4:30 tomorrow morning.
You know what's sweet, though?
What's that?
You and I are normally on a Saturday morning show. We're off this weekend for the holiday.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So I can sleep in for one Saturday.
You've got the day off.
That's well, I wouldn't say the whole day, but I don't have to get up at 4:45.
And the whole weekend. And that's part of the reason, you know, getting us talking about the Labor Day weekend. So everyone's out and enjoying themselves, whether they're at the beach, the lake, they're camping, if they're just even hanging out with family picnics, whatever it is. And that's what tonight's show is about, is just making sure that you and your loved ones are being responsible. And, you know... We're going to have a lot of fun talking about some things, and I learned some stuff this afternoon that I didn't know. You've been through the training, so and I was actually just reading through this training manual, so this is going to be great. I'm like, yeah. Hey, you've already taken it. All right.
Boom.
So,
there's going to be some interesting discussion.
Here's my expert.
And the one thing I think people fail to remember is your drinking experience, and we don't want to make this into a preaching show by any means. Obviously, we've been trying to have a good time, and we don't want to belabor the points, but your drinking experience affects everyone around you. And so, especially on a holiday weekend when you're surrounded by family and friends, you don't want to take it past the point of responsible drinking or a fun environment into, you know, foolishness or risk. So we're going to have some more fun. We're going to have some more facts coming up. I think we're getting ready to take a little break. But enjoy your beer. Come back for the rest of the show and get ready for Labor Day weekend. This is Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis.
And we'll catch you in a couple minutes.
Excellent.
All right.
And now back to the show.
Welcome back to Happy Hour. With Joby and Curtis.
And I'm going to rely on you. I'm Jason the Hungry Man, but I'm going to rely on you to tell me my volume is good, because Laura over here has commandeered my headphones.
You're good. No, hold on here. Let me get
here. Comes the mic.
There we go.
Wake up, everybody. It is Thursday night here at Barrel House 101.
Wow, that was a big feedback. Okay, so we have Israel and Laura Martinez, right?
That's correct.
I know Israel as Israel, and I've met both of them, and we've just, all of a sudden, last names kind of go out of my head.
It's okay. I think he had a last name change. He's Israel, drive me home now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It comes up on my phone as Israel as we're driving. I'm like, hey, Israel, can I get a ride home? And then it comes back from the contact is Israel at we're driving.
That makes it great, though, for you, Israel. When you're having conversations with family and friends, you can use yourself in the third person, and it still makes sense. You're like, yeah, we're driving. No big deal.
So not only – so we've got – I've got messages coming in all over the place. My wife is listening and watching and said, hey, you bumped the camera when
Hi,
I sat
Genevieve.
Down. And they're off. Thank you. I appreciate that. So I got everyone back into position.
I like the fact that Jen's out there being like our – producer on the spot.
She's our remote producer. Yes, yeah. I appreciate that too. And so you are listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. We've got Jason here sitting in for Joby tonight.
Joby Wan.
Yeah, Joby Wan. He is out and having fun somewhere else. Not
some place
here
called
with
the
us.
Attic.
Yeah, he's not here with us. I know that. And so we decided, you know what? Instead of postponing this show about drinking responsibly. We'd have Jason come in and help us out as we go along. So Jason is here, and we have Israel and Laura Martinez. They are the power duo behind We're Driving. And anyone who's listened to this show certainly knows that every single week after this show, this is how I get home. I call We're Driving.
There would be no Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis if you weren't using the We're Driving service.
Right. It would be Joby and the guy in the orange jumpsuit
that's
in County Jam.
Oh, yeah.
So this is how I come out and I host a drinking show for, you know, I'm generally drinking for 2 hours straight. Mm-hmm. By the time we prep and get everything set up and all the way through the show, and my ride comes and gets me to bring me home. So there is no way that I can drive myself home. And we've just taken another breathalyzer, and now I blew a giant .19 before we went to break.
And just the caveat and the asterisk, fine print of that, we both blew a .19 on our first try, but we did it right after downing the last of a taster.
Right.
So it was like it barely left the back of our throat before we were already blowing into the pocket breathalyzer.
However, coming back, I still blew a .11,
yes,
and
you
blew a .08, which is still
danger
enough to,
zone. But
that's enough to get you a ride.
It depends.
Not home.
Depends on the discretion of the person who's doing the survey, if you will.
Right.
But it is still not a good place to be if you're behind the wheel.
No, and so, you know, we've been talking about being responsible, and that's where We're Driving come in. So Israel and Laura, let's talk a little bit about just to get to know you two a little bit and what you were doing right before or what led up to We're Driving, I guess.
Just being laid off from work, you know. I worked for a company, trucking company, many years, and got laid off, and I just wanted to do something for my part, and I did some research, and I saw there was DD services out there, and I thought bringing one to Ventura County would be great. It's needed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could have used it many times myself,
sure.
You know. I got a DUI before with my commercial license, and it cost me a lot of money and a lot of problems.
It's not a good experience to go through, is it?
No, it's not. Especially when you have a commercial license, they hold you to even a stricter standard. You know? So, yeah, and we started it 2 years ago, and now we're up and running. We're pretty good, you know.
So, you know, one of the things, like, even though it's just 2 years old, I came to you 9 months ago, maybe somewhere in there, and I had just learned about you, and I'm like, hey, I'm doing this thing. Are you interested in helping us or being a sponsor of the show? Yeah, this is great. And I didn't realize that they were that young at that point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I look at beer festivals coming up this fall. California Beer Festival, you're a sponsor there. Moorpark Beer Festival, you're listed there.
Yeah.
I mean, so all over these local beer festivals, they're already out and about. And it's, you know... I guess when I first started getting a ride, I was getting a ride from the same person every single week, which was like a small workforce. And now it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And so now it's you know.
Weekend, we're probably going to run about 18 drivers. So, you know, last weekend alone, Friday and Saturday, we did about 74, 75 pickups.
Wow.
Those 2 days.
That's a good number.
That's real good.
And to do justice for Weird Driving and for the people listening, talk about why Weird Driving is unique to, say, calling a cab or getting a family member out to pick you up.
Well, it's unique because we get you home with your vehicle instead of, you know, but we do it pretty easy. You call us just like a cab. Call us 45 minutes, an hour before, or you can make a reservation or text us, and we'll have a driver out there. You know, we're pretty on the spot. You know, we're usually pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Once in a while, we'll get a delay here and there. Sure. You know, cause,
I think it's understandable.
Yeah. But, you know, we're pretty reliable. That's one thing I want. You know, especially now that a lot of people call us, you know, like for today already, I think we already got like 8-9 runs already lined up. You know, we got to go to Beverly Hills and ooh, we got to, you know, stuff like that.
That's excellent, though. I think that's, for me, knowing my past and my experience with alcohol, my interaction with alcohol in general, the vehicle thing, I think, is a hurdle that most people can't get over. Especially after you've had a few drinks, you're thinking, no, I don't want to leave anything behind. And I used to work in Goleta and Santa Barbara, and I lived down in Ventura. You think, I don't want to leave my car behind. How am I going to get it back? I don't want to deal with leaving anything in that place.
Yeah.
And that's, unfortunately, after, you know, 3, 4, 5 drinks or whatever the night may hold, getting over that hump of saying, I'm not in good shape of driving, I can deal with those details later, is big. It's hard for people. Weird Driving would be a great service, right? Because you're getting your vehicle home. You don't have to think about it.
Yeah, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to be a membership or have anything like that. Pretty easy. Just call
it's
us
just
and
a call away, a text away, an email away,
and we'll supply you the DD. You know, which is good.
You can basically either go to any one of these bars in downtown Ventura, and they know about the service as well. Any of our downtowns, Camarillo.
Like when we started our business, we would be right here in the parking structure, passing out cards and you know
flyers.
You know, we started with 5-6 runs a weekend, and then.
Our funding is limited, so we don't have these elaborate advertising and billboards. Mm-hmm. And
most of our advertising is footwork, you know, passing out cards and
word of mouth.
Our client tells their friend, and then they Facebook us, and pretty much how we spend our business.
Israel and Laura, I'm getting good energy from you. I have a feeling you guys both appreciate a good drink. Have you ever had to use your own service?
We use it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Sweetness. Well, we work a lot. We work a lot, but when we do, I use Weird Driving, of course.
Yeah. You know? They have to come pick us up.
Yeah. But we'll wait.
She's got the devious brain. Tell me you're using your own. You're like, come on, guys. Just hook me up. Just come pick me up.
We don't cut ahead of clients. If we got to wait in the car, we'll wait just like a regular customer, you know?
Oh, yeah. We've had to wait a lot of times when he's like, no, you go take care of the customer and pick us up later.
Clients first, man. Clients first. We'll wait for them.
I like to hear that. That's good. Yeah.
Well,
I've had to wait in my car many times.
if you go to weirddriving.com, that's W-E-R-E driving.com. You can take a look at all of their services. Not only is it DD services, but it's like to ball games, to...
We do personal driving service. You can hire a driver hourly. A lot of people use that too to go to Dodger games. Like we'll go to their house. We'll drive them from their house to the ball game, wait for them, drive them home. They relax, have a good time. You know, they go in a big van full of people and have a good time.
And stadium, and, you know, we were talking earlier about alcohol percentage and that we're looking at your calculation, how to figure out how many drinks you've had. It's based on a 12-ounce beer at 5%. The ballparks, I think, are a great example of, in my opinion, kind of an abuse of that. Not only is that shit expensive, you know, pardon my language, Israel, right. Laura, that's just expensive, right? $8 for a light beer, $6 to $8. But also they're serving very large quantities. Mm-hmm. So maybe a low percentage light beer, but you're serving large quantities. You may be having 2 to 3 beers in one cup. I think that's an issue and a factor we need to think about. So we're driving, taking you back and forth to the ballpark, or even riding the train. You know, we got the Angels right down the Amtrak. Having alternatives is a key thing to enjoying your evening.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes it good. You know, we'll go out to L.A. We go to Hollywood, Beverly Hills, downtown L.A. We're out there every week. Every week bringing clients back to Ventura County.
Wine tours, you know? Through Malibu. Wine tours. Wine tours.
For the regulars like Curtis and soon-to-be myself, have you ever thought about like almost a frequent flyer style program, like a rewards program for people to use you frequently?
Well, you know, we keep our prices at a good price. That way, you know, we really can't make it any cheaper. So, but that way everybody uses our service, you know. Our prices start at $25. Like, you know, that's pretty affordable.
And I was looking at, so based out of Oxnard, and then it circles out from there. Is that right?
Kind of zones? That's actually also what makes us unique is that we don't just stay within a certain radius. We don't just stay in Ventura County, even though that's our base. Mm-hmm. But we do go out to Santa Barbara. We do L.A. County. We won't do specific rides just there in those counties. They have to be coming back towards Ventura County so we can get our drivers back.
So this is your home base.
Sure. Yeah, this is our home base.
But we go to Santa Paula, Moore Park, little cities where they don't even have cab companies and stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. We go everywhere in Ventura County, so that's what's pretty good. We have drivers stationed over the hill, Thousand Oaks,
Simi Valley. So that's going to beg the question for me then, having, again, worked in Santa Barbara County and, you know, obviously we have UCSB up there, Party Central. Have you thought about, or are you on track to expand into those areas and move into those counties?
Yeah, I just,
We definitely have thought about it, but we definitely want to make sure we're taking care of where we started first because it has been a growing process for us where we have expanded from just Ventura County to now where we've expanded out to Westlake, Agora, Calabasas.
So we slowly
are going out there, but we definitely know once we start in Santa Barbara because it is such a party town and such so much tourists.
That'll keep me
busy. We definitely will be busy out there.
You know, as it is, I work probably like 20 hours a day sometimes. You know, minimum. Yeah. We close till 2:00, and then on the weekends we close at 3:00. By the time we finish, it's like 4:30 in the morning. You know.
You almost have to set up a satellite. office.
Somebody. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean.
Yeah, we actually.
Because I would have to be there, make sure everything's getting done and stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. I just don't want to start something and then...
No, you want to make sure it mirrors the service that you're already providing here.
That's what we want to provide is quality and you know?
Now, Curtis, I'm going to ask a question that I think probably is out there in the listenership a little bit. The concept is, I'm at Barrelhouse 101 tonight. Curtis is at Barrelhouse 101. He drove here. You're going to send a car with two drivers. Mm-hmm. One gets their car back, and the other gets Curtis and his car back to where he needs to go.
That's right. My driver will follow you.
What about the safety, though? What about gender? You know, what if it's a woman, and she's like, I don't feel comfortable with a man driving home with me in my car?
We do have female drivers. If the woman, you know, wants a female driver, we'll try to provide one. We can't always do it, but we'll try to.
Request it when they call in. And to dispatch, and they'll say, I prefer a female driver, or I need a driver that drives stick shift. And so usually our dispatch has to get all that information, so we send out the correct driver to them. So Excellent. We do have a couple customers that request a female.
Yeah, and they're willing to wait till our female drivers clear up, and we'll send them out there.
Very good. I think that's important. I had to just break in with that because, you know, nowadays the safety of the person in the car, especially at an intoxicated level, is key. I appreciate you guys making accommodations when appropriate.
Yeah, we tried.
So on the website, I was just looking, and I didn't see it real quickly, was you have your a spreadsheet with where you're at, the city, and the approximate pricing that it's going to take.
Those
to
prices are outdated. We're working on
updating
them.
But they haven't increased much. They're about $5, $10, but our main cities like Ventura, Camarillo, Oxnard, those haven't changed much.
That's what, you know, as business been growing and the demand, we've had to do some adjustments. Sure, we really couldn't copy it off anybody, you know? We pretty much put it together.
Your own model.
And,
I'm sure you figured out too that some people have some obscure location where you didn't expect extra couple of miles or the extra gas. Yeah, you're going, son of a mother, I'm way out here in the sticks.
Yes, we
do. We try not to charge by the mile. We have a flat rate, but like you said, somebody will say, oh, okay, I live in Santa Paula, but they'll live way out in the boonies in Santa Paula.
Some of those fields in Santa Paula are four or 5 acres wide.
Yeah, or the farms way out there.
We go out to Somies. We go out.
So we try to adjust the prices. And you know, we're going to have a new price list up soon. So.
One of the things I thought is really unique about this, too, is, you know, you come here at 9:30, you pick me up. And I'm
9:30. Come on, let's be serious now. Usually it's more like 10, 10:15.
Okay, so it's 10 o'clock. So you come here.
Sometimes it's him pushing it, and sometimes it's us telling him we're running late.
So here I am.
The rights for free.
Don't tell anybody, Israel.
I just like to know because whether or not I get to have another drink here or not. So, yeah, I mean, I'm like, do I need to suck this down?
Full
or do
disclosure,
I need to go?
I don't know if you guys know the inner workings because I help set up gear. I've been behind the scenes of the show for Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. There are some times where he shifts. If you say, I'm running late, he'll start ordering bourbon. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, these guys know that you're starting to move into the hard stuff?
Do we need to give you the text? We're going to be late. Make sure you get him his bourbon.
This kid needs a bourbon. We're going to be another 15 minutes late.
That's one of the other things is we try to keep our customers in contact. Our drivers, once they get the call dispatched to them, they need to call them. I'm on my way, or we're going to be such and such time. Right. So we definitely like to keep the customer knowing where we are at. Because like you said, they may want to order another drink if we're running late.
Or being down in a downtown setting like Ventura, there may be other locations. I may say, hey, let's take the party down to Fiore or to Dargins or something else to enjoy ourselves. And you guys need to know that, too. You can't show up and expect a client at the door and wondering where the hell they are.
Where are they?
most of the time we'll ask you where you're parked. Mm-hmm. The parking structure or the parking behind Dargins, and that's where we'll meet you, you know?
Sure. So do you still offer the $5 addition to go get munchies on the way home, basically
to get some tacos on the corner?
That's right. So like if I get picked up today and we're heading to Camarillo and I'm like, wait a second, I wouldn't mind an In-N-Out, you know, as we pull through the drive-in and then we head home.
We do charge $5 any additional stop, but food stops, if it's between 12 and 2, we charge $10 because it take a while.
I think you should add an additional pita fee, a pain in the ass fee, for any food establishment that doesn't fit a quality meal.
Especially around.
Like, it's like if it's garbage that you wouldn't eat yourself, you should charge a little extra for that.
No.
Especially around 12 and 2, there's a lot of people.
A lot of cars. I bet, yeah.
There's some great street tacos in the Ave, too, Curtis. Take a little detour.
They're pretty good.
I'm never out that late, so, you know, generally, like...
Maybe you should stay longer.
At 10 o'clock. Well, I could do that, yeah, I suppose.
Sorry, Genevieve.
Yeah, I won't be home till late tonight. Okay, so we've hit the We're Driving, weredriving.com. You've got your rates there. Give you a good idea of what it is. They'll be updating soon. $5 additional fee for every stop you make. So if you have to stop every 5 miles for something else to eat the whole way through.
Israel's got dollar signs in his eyes.
And and if you are if it's 10 to 2?
12 to 2,
it's a $10
$10 extra munchies.
Well, yeah, because everyone's lining up for munchies at that time.
I would put it out there. Anyone listening right now who's going to use the Weird Driving service, if it's 10 to 2, 12 to 2, it doesn't matter. If you have to make a munchie stop, you better be picking up a taco or a burger or a hash brown or something for the driver. Don't be stingy. Quit being a cheap ass.
That's the good thing. Yeah. They feed us, too. Huh?
And the other thing, too, is I want to make sure that everyone realizes, too, is that this is it's a service, and you need to tip your drivers. They get you home safe. So
it's no different than making a drink at the bar and taking care of you at the bar.
And you don't just have one driver. You have two drivers, and that's one of the things.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get a $2 tip, and have a dollar each, which is great. Right.
Which is crazy because they just spend probably $80, $90 at the bar, and they'll tip my driver $2 or $3.
Yeah, so you've got to make sure you do that.
Our drivers work for their tips also, so we've got to let them know. They want to get a tip, they got a good service.
It's 15 to 20%. It's people looking out for you, whether it's food, beverage, driving you home. It's a service that you're not able to take care of yourself. So why not appreciate the folks that are putting in the effort? I'm getting texts from friends right now that are talking about the show, and they're like, we're on our way. Don't worry. So you may have more clients tonight. Who knows?
No problem. We're ready.
Well, we're ready tonight.
And as we're talking about tipping the drivers, too, I mean, I went through a stretch where I only had one driver for, I don't know, maybe two.
You get to know that person.
2 or 3 months. Yeah, I got to know him. And
did he ever give you financial tips?
No, they didn't. However, just the nature of this business, yeah, I host a podcast about drinking, and I've been drinking for the last 2 hours, generally opens up the conversation, you know. And so, you know, I imagine I've had conversations with my drivers, and a lot of times they'll say, there's two types of people. There's the really chatty ones. And then there's the ones who fall asleep in the seat. Fall asleep. And so, you know, just enjoy your trip home and think of it as another part of your entertainment.
It's a friend you never met.
Right, I know. That's the way it goes.
It is a form of entertainment for our drivers, but they also get to know the customers, because some of the customers do call us on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis.
And like you said, with tips, once we try to keep the drivers in the same area, you know, once on the weekends.
So they get to know.
Once they get to know the client and you build a relationship and a trust, then, you know, that's.
They feel safer, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Not always.
So I'm gonna break the ice a little bit. Not that we haven't already, but Israel, Laura, who is driving tonight? Are you both driving?
No, I'm just,
you're riding,
phones.
You're passenger.
We haven't figured it out
yet.
I'm
the boss.
So
we Israel, I'm the boss.
We haven't had
are you available?
Yet.
Are you available to try
dinner.
The Velvet Rooster, this Belgian in a can?
Oh, yeah. Because
I think it's worth a try.
Let me try it.
And it's a great use of the service.
Yeah. That's not, a good thing about being the boss. Curtis, I don't have to be driving clients.
Yeah, not only is it the service, but it's the wife. Yeah. You know you'll get home. You don't have to explain it. You don't have to give the directions here. You know, and I mean, I'm in Camarillo, but I'm one of those people that you were talking about earlier, like the Santa Paula people. When you say, I'm in Santa Paula, and then they're clear the hell out there. Yeah, I'm in Camarillo, but I'm clear the hell out there.
Thankfully, you're on the campus, though. At least you can say I'm on the campus of right. Sisusi. When you're out in Santa Paula, you're hoping that guy or that girl in the back seat's not passing out or falling asleep, because you need those directions. Where do I turn? Where do I go?
Right.
Well, so, if they knock out, what we do is a couple of times we've had to look at their driver license or the registration. Get
no
address.
Kidding.
Yeah, we've had to look at car registrations for an address, or we try to get it out of them before they get in
the
car.
The
but sometimes they can't even give it to you, you know? They're like, no, I'll tell you.
You know what?
We had a call one time.
It's better than having them on the road, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, exactly.
There was a
we'll get them home somehow, some way, you know? But
she was like, go through my phone, it says mom, call my mom, and she'll give you the address. So, hey, we got her home, awesome. We got her car
whatever
home.
It takes,
and we'll have her on the show.
Well, so that kind of leads into my next one is, do you have any crazy stories of drivers, or is everyone just kind of...
Oh, yeah, and when we first started, we were actually the only drivers out there. With our friends and family would help us drive, and, you know, trying to get it out there. So he's experienced his bunch of
that gets
occasions,
crazy sometimes.
And I've experienced my crazy times too. So it's always fun. I think a lot of it too is gender, whoever your driver is.
And there's a certain relation there where you're able to broach topics that make sense, and you're like, what is that? You're not looking at each other going, I have no idea what this girl's talking about as a guy driver, and vice versa. You're like, that dude's a jerk. I don't want to talk to him.
Depends on the age, you know. When they're 21, 22, they're a little bit.
Israel, here you go.
They're a little bit more wild. Then when they're older, they just.
Oh no! What? That doesn't bode well for you and me, Curtis.
I know. I'm about 5 minutes away from falling asleep right now. Right.
Well, please don't. We have 25 minutes minimum left on the show.
No, that's what it is. I mean, I love my rides.
He's ready for his bourbon.
I love my rides home. No, I mean, it's a part of the week where I just, you know, generally I'm kind of an introvert. You know, I'll stay away from people who I don't generally know. But this is that one time of the week where I don't know who's coming out. And so instead of being nervous or anxious about it, you know, hey, I'm going to meet somebody and we'll find out.
Yeah, relax, you know, chill, put on your seatbelt, and we'll get you home.
I got two things. Because I'm thinking about myself in the car. Thankfully, I just have to walk home tonight. But I'm thinking about myself riding in the car. One, does the driver get to dictate the music? And two, what's the craziest thing you found left in a car? Like, where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they left that here. Even though it's that person's car, but like it's sitting out on the seat or there's something you're like, oh my God, that's just out in plain sight.
No, the music, the client usually puts it on. They'll crank it up and rock out.
They want you to put that music up as loud as possible. And we don't care what it is, we'll do it.
But I really haven't seen it. You know, we pretty much get on the driver's seat.
You remember when we were talking earlier about when you want to beatbox? So we've got these certain kind of... We've got these levels of intoxication, and the first level is when somebody thinks that they can beatbox on a microphone.
Oh, really?
And we've already gone by that. And now the next one is when somebody thinks that they can sing the soprano version of Love in
You. We've hit it.
No, when you guys are talking about the music though being left up to the client, it made me think, and part of why I broke into song. You remember that scene in what was the David Spade and Chris Farley? Tommy Boy. Yeah, where they're flipping through the stations, and in the end they ended up on this real...
And they're crying.
I'm not crying. No, what?
That would be awesome. I want to be in a weird driving ride just like that.
Oh, well, yeah. you can manufacture that. You could
especially
create that situation.
I will set the stage, but I don't want to manually create it.
We'll have you pick up somebody that's breaking up or divorced, and they'll be...
We picked up divorcees from their divorce parties.
No, I didn't even know they had divorce parties.
That's a real thing.
That seems like a juxtaposition or a contradiction right there.
That's
divorce
crazy.
Party?
No. See, they're supposed to be happy that they got divorced, but then when they're all hammered and drunk and they're getting
they get all sentimental. Like,
they realize everything they're losing in their settlement.
Lost the house.
Oh no!
And the dog.
So this is like the whole like spectrum of drivers. So we've got people who need to maybe seniors who need help getting to the store, whatever grocery store, to a medical getting. Like, you know, if you've had your wisdom teeth out, you've got to have somebody driving
you
back.
Yeah, we're talking all about alcohol, but these are great examples of things that we're driving can help with that have nothing to do with drinking.
Yeah, we do that. We have a special rate for seniors. You know, it's $20 an hour, 3-hour minimum, but you could book us. Well, if your parents have their car but don't like to drive on the freeway or you know, we'll drive them to their doctor appointments.
They like to go out to dinner.
Do their errands.
It gets dark.
And stuff like that.
They don't like to drive in the
dark. And I think they feel more comfortable than being in a cab. You know, they're in their own car, and we take care of them.
And I think that's one thing, too, that your car, especially as a senior, a lot of seniors that I know, especially my grandfather when he was alive, he had a car for 22, 23 years.
Yeah.
That becomes part of his family. He knows the cabin. He knows where things are at.
Exactly.
And the comfort level is there. You brought up the wisdom teeth, though, too. Thankfully, when I had my wisdom teeth taken out, I was in high school, and my mother and father were able to drive me around. But
Thank you, Mommy.
I barely remember that experience. Yeah. I woke up in the waiting room at one point and barely was coherent for the conversation, and I woke up a little bit in the back seat on the way home. That is a scenario it would have never crossed my mind.
Yeah, we'll do that. If you're having outpatient surgery or something, when it's the same day.
Who would have thought?
You call us the day before, set it up. Yeah, drive yourself, and then we'll get you home.
There you go.
Or you can hire us hourly, and we'll take you in the morning, wait for you, and drive you home. Whatever, you know, it's easier for you.
So I think some of my favorite parts of the day, you know, you and I, we get up pretty early.
We do.
You know, we see each other online, and at 5,
I'm yelling,
5:30,
I'm going, why the hell are you awake right now?
And I'm doing,
kids are at school.
Right, and I'm like, this is the only hour I have that's quiet. So we're up and we're doing all these things. But, you know, when I get up and I look at my emails or I open up my computer and Facebook pops up, and then I see generally one of the last ones from the night is Israel signing off for the night. You know, it's 3 a.m., we're done. You know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, we've got a client in L.A. that needs a ride to the airport or whatever. So, I mean, this is a 24-hour service.
Pretty much.
This is just it's crazy. And you know, our listeners know you from me saying every week that this is how I'm getting home. And so I want to make sure, especially just kind of getting back on topic for what we're doing this evening, is that, you know, just being responsible and budgeted in. And we've had a few months ago, and I'm trying to think what it was, maybe Memorial Day weekend. Oh, no, it was actually cleared back in St. Patrick's Day. And we had Ventura's Finest coming in and talking about the costs of a DUI. And generally, I had heard, like, it's going to cost you $10,000. And they're like, no, it's more in the neighborhood of $20,000 when you factor in lost wages and everything else.
It's a lot higher than $10,000.
Spend your $25, spend your $30, spend your $40.
Send me the $10,000.
Yeah. Right.
Send it to Israel.
I'll give you rights for life.
Make checks payable too.
Make it cheap on yourself and help somebody else out.
And I think the one thing to convey as well, obviously the monetary impact is heavy, but if you're involved with someone, if you have a relationship going on, the emotional impact and the trust involved is really traumatized as well. You know, because obviously it's a poor decision. You know, if you get dinged by a DUI, it's not the smartest move, and it may have been an honest mistake. But the amount of effort and the time and the energy involved with getting back in good graces with the people around you and proving to them that, hey, I messed up, but I'm not irresponsible with alcohol and I can have a good time without being crazy, it takes a lot of work. And that's something not to discount. I want to make sure people know that it's not just about monetary. It's not just about your automobile that may be wrecked. It's about how to show the people around you that I can interact and have a good time without being a lunatic or being stupid.
Yeah. Well, being responsible.
And before I get to the part to where I say, I love you, man. but it's even more than that. It's more than your loved ones, because it's the people outside of your car and all of their loved ones. And so it's so silly to think that it's just you. It's every single person in that. And everyone you pass on the freeway on your way home.
And the least that could happen is a DUI. You could hurt somebody, kill somebody.
There's like a bubble around your car. Mm-hmm. And every ring outside that bubble, just like the rings that you guys have with We're Driving showing the zones that you drive to, every ring outside that bubble is a different level of impact. And you don't know how far-reaching that ripple can be. So on that note, I think obviously Israel's on his first taster, but I think we should do a little round and see where we're all stand.
This thing's pretty strong. I'm a little Bud Light drinker. I don't drink that stuff.
No, for those in the audience right now, we're drinking Velvet Rooster. It's a Belgian style.
It's from Tall Grass Brewery in Manhattan, Kansas.
I drink Manhattan, Ultra Light.
Manhattan, Kansas. Are you kidding? But it's sitting at 8.5%. It's a Belgian style Velvet Rooster from Tall Grass. And Curtis,
I'm back up.
Danger zone back to 0.19.
Oh, I'm back up.
I just had a drink of that too. But I'm certainly way past my ability to operate a motor vehicle.
Especially this weekend, we're going to have extra drivers. We're going to be ready. You know, I'll tell you, last week we did 70. Hopefully this week we could do 90 some runs. Hopefully, you know.
All right.
Well,
when it hits the beep, breathe right across the top.
Okay. And I thank you for reminding me that, because that's part of the reason why we had the show, was just to remind people during this time, this Labor Day weekend, that you need to be able to
you need to take it easy.
See, there you go.
Interesting. It's saying danger, and that's because I believe it's just registering some kind of alcohol content.
Well,
but even after that little taster, this is only a 5-ounce glass. We didn't fill it all the way. And he hasn't fully finished it yet.
I don't drink this.
He's blowing a 0.05.
Well, it's because it's such a strong, it's a strong beer. It's still on his breath, and it just hasn't
happened. Yeah, but still, I think it's amazing for people to realize. That's one thing to think about, too. Once you get in that car, even if you had one beer, if you just finished that beer and you walk right outside, it's up to the officer's discretion that, hey, my breathalyzer showed you were over. It doesn't matter if you've been sitting for an hour or for 3 hours, you're over.
And chances they're going to give you a DUI if you blow over, you know?
Yeah.
They don't let you go on that stuff.
Right. Well, Israel and Laura, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Curtis. Thank you guys.
I'm so glad to see, this is our second get together. Israel has driven me home once or twice.
Yeah.
And it's been, not only does he have people coming out and picking us up, but when somebody can't make the trip, guess who's doing it? These two are coming out.
We'll shoot out if we need to. But,
yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. And I think that shows more than just the business plan. That shows the care for the community.
Oh, definitely. Right.
Well, guys, high five for that, Israel.
I appreciate it. Like I said, we'll be ready this weekend for everybody. Call, we're driving. Don't drink and drive. Be safe.
We take cash and credit. So credit we do
cards.
Take debit.
No excuses.
No excuses.
That's a, And right before we go, so what I do every week is I email or I send a text message to Israel about, I don't know, generally sometimes, and even and
in
then
the
when
morning.
I, yeah, in the morning. And then when I forget, he comes to me about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Hey, do you need a ride?
Hey, which
today?
Is like, great. As a regular, he's established a rapport with you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so then I'm like, oh, I totally forgot to tell you. I'm sorry we don't have a show tonight. Because generally I'm like, okay, I want to get this lined up. So text, email, call in. Check the website.
On the website, you can reserve your ride, too. Go to our website, fill out the form. It's easy. We're Boom. Pretty easy to do.
Definitely. And go to weirddriving.com. That is W-E-R-E.
Everybody have a safe weekend.
Driving. Thanks, Israel.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Israel.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis. I'm Jason Hendricks, subbing in for Joby Wan. And we got Curtis, a.k.a. Hophead Said, to my left. I think we're going to go on a quick break, right, Curtis?
I think so. And I know that last time when we cut out, I forgot to say... I was concentrating all this, and I certainly want to say this is happy hour. This is like the happy hour, and it's the CJ squared. So we've got Jason over here, and Excellent. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Cheers.
And now back to the show.
Hello, and welcome back to happy hour.
I feel like I'm snuggling in a little bit to get in the shot.
Oh. Hey, how are you doing?
How are you doing?
Chris? I'm actually suffering from an ice cube that I swallowed before it was all crunched up.
Thankfully, you didn't put it down your shirt. You're pointing to your neck and your V-neck. I'm like, what is he talking about?
I can feel that ice cube right about here, and
it doesn't just hurt so much here or here, but right here.
So this is last call, obviously, since we are here. And in the last 30 minutes of the show, oh, hey, look, we were actually supposed to sign off like a minute ago. It turns out that it's past, 2:02 p.m. How
Son
is my
of a mother?
Oh, because this is a screenshot. I'm like, how is my iPad telling me it's 2 o'clock in the morning?
Your iPad's been drinking.
It has been. So, hey, welcome back. We have been doing a show about responsible drinking, and we've done our share of responsible drinking, I think.
Drinking at minimum.
See, well, we've been talking. We just got off with our friends Israel and Laura from WeirdDriving.com, and as always, even though they were just here, we are this happy last call is brought to you by WeirdDriving.com, WERE Driving.com, and one of the best parts about WeirdDriving.com is. I make an appointment, or you can call half hour, 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours ahead of time, whatever. Make your appointment, and they'll come pick you up in your car. So you can drive to wherever you're going to have fun. And if you've had too many, you weren't planning on it, because sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
And generally, not everyone plans their drinking excursions like I do. Like, I know every single Thursday I'm not going to be in any shape
to
drive.
You put it on your calendar. You're pretty diligent. I'm getting drunk tonight.
I'm a planner that way. I like to plan that. So we come in, and so I have a standing reservation. I have a standing reservation to pick me up at Barrel House. Generally, with WeirdDriving.com, and but if you're out and about and you've been to a party, whatever, and all of a sudden you realize, oh, wait a second, I thought I was drinking a 5% beer, and all of a sudden you're drinking an 8% triple, double triple, and
it catches up to you quick.
Yeah, and you can't drive home. Well, this is the way to go. So
we talked about the fact, in the past segment that the hurdle of a lot of people is getting over the stigma of leaving their car, leaving their belongings behind. We're driving takes care of that. They send out two drivers in the car. One gets in with you in your car, drives you home, and the other follows behind so that everybody gets back where they need to be. It's a great service. We've been enjoying some really lovely IPAs, some scotch ales. We got this blonde in front of us now, and it all fits into the concept of responsible drinking. We're enjoying ourselves. We've had a good time with the breathalyzer, but ultimately we both have a plan.
Right, and the plan is get home safe. So we're both alive tomorrow morning, and everyone else around us that encounters us this evening ends up alive.
There may be some funny photos and a couple of quirky videos that we wished weren't taken, but ultimately everybody's in good shape.
And have you been taking any videos tonight?
Shh.
Okay, that one time. So anyway, we're back here at Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis, and this is not Joby, this is Jason.
I am Jason.
Hi, Jason.
I'm not Joby Wan, I'm the hungry man. But you know what's cool? We opened with our pre-show with Mr. Eric Drew hanging out. He's back. He brought a friend. He ninja kicked.
Oh,
got a friend, Brittany. Holla, ninja kick from Brittany, too.
But I got Brittany's ninja kick. I missed.
She's doing Mr. Roboto over there. Apparently, she's had a couple of drinks. You better call Weird Driving, too, Brittany.
Domi arigato, Mr. Roboto. Hey. There it is. So, yeah, and this is, you know, after that Belgian, that was... This is holding up surprisingly well. It's got this nice palate cleansing capabilities that I don't necessarily associate with a blonde. Wait, are you drinking a blonde or are you drinking
I'm drinking
the
Fat Chance. No, this is out of the Barrington, Illinois, and you said it's the Onion Pub.
Let's see, Onion Brewing Company.
Onion Brewing Company. This is a 5% blonde. It's got some provocative artwork on the can. Mine has a couple of dents in it. I'm not sure what happened with that. but, no, I agree with you.
It was the provocativeness of that can.
Exactly. No, but I do agree with you. As far as a blonde goes, this is crisp. There's a little bit of a corn note. It's got some, I think there's even a little twinge of banana in there.
Maybe. That could be. I don't know. I'm past dissecting the beer.
You don't give a damn. You know what? I have to learn that there's a certain threshold where you just say, just enjoy the beer. Quit being a dork and analyzing it. Just
well,
enjoy it.
I'm not going to say that you're being a dork, but there is.
There
is a time to just enjoy the beer, and right now is the time.
Excellent.
So one of the things I really want to make sure that we cover real quickly, and I don't want to be the Debbie Downer here. You know, I don't know. I probably just dated myself by using that Debbie Downer term. That was a Saturday Night Live.
I'm sure there were many other examples of you dating yourself. It's okay.
I have done it all evening. Why hasn't anyone told me that? So just last year alone, there were 27 DUI deaths in Ventura County, okay? And they arrested over 5,000 people last year. So it's one of those things, like when Israel and Laura were here, I'm not one of them. You know, I'm not going to be a part of any of this. I'm going home, and I've got somebody driving me. Get me home safe. There's all kinds of DD programs out there, and especially one that here in the area called Be the DD and Win. And so
those guys come out in force, too. When they have their campaigns, they send out a whole a foot clan. Just to use my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reference from back in the day, they send out a whole foot clan of folks who believe in this cause of promoting responsible drinking but also responsible exit, if you will, from your evening. Getting people on board with the designated driver concept, and they go out from restaurant and brewery and bar to bar spreading their message of have a plan, have a designated driver, have someone who can get you home who's following a good path of exit.
Yeah, and bethedd.com, so go there and learn about this program. But they come in and they'll go to a group of people and say, who's your DD? And some will say, I'm the DD. They'll give you a breathalyzer. If you blow a zero, then they've got all kinds of prizes for you.
They got some cool stuff. They got swag.
So it's a good thing. And it's promoting a responsible way of getting home, too. The other thing, Jason just dropped.
Dropped the breathalyzer.
And that probably will never, ever work again.
It needs to be calibrated again. You got 8 seconds, and when it beeps, blow into the top.
So... Yep. So one of the things that we always talk about is like, if you, like the differences between you and I, you know, there's probably, I'm guessing there's 30, maybe 40 pounds difference between, I'm at 190 pounds. And so, I mean, is there 50 pounds difference between us?
There's 50 to 55.
50 to 55, there you go.
Sorry, guys. Thank God it's not a woman's show.
Jason needs a small man's wetsuit.
See, Brittany blew a .192.
And I'm telling you that
it's
time.
This little breathalyzer likes .19.
And it's time to go home. So anyway, there's a big difference between us, body composition wise, between you and I.
Well, and you're a little taller than me too. So in all fairness to everyone listening, we have a weight difference, a differential, but we also have a few inches differential too. So it makes sense that there's going to be some amount of weight difference. And that all comes into play. You know, we talked about the drink calculation earlier. You know, a beer, 12-ounce beer at a 5% level, a 1-ounce shot of a spirit, one and a half ounce of a mixed cocktail. The body composition definitely comes into play. Height, weight, fat percentage, those are all variables that it's hard to calculate, but you want to have a general basis.
And in this pocket breathalyzer is one of these things that, that helps to bring awareness to. So we were talking earlier, a 12-ounce beer at a 5% alcohol volume is considered what? That's one alcohol point? I'm trying to figure it. So that's how much alcohol your liver can
process
in 1 hour.
60 minutes.
And then...
And when we're looking, just, you do have the stats right in front of you. 12 ounces of beer at 5% equals 0.6 ounces of alcohol. This is how they level the playing field. So when we look at 5 ounces of wine at 12% alcohol, that also equals 0.6 ounces of alcohol. So we're looking at a level playing field of wine versus spirits versus beer, and that's, it gives you a common calculation to work with.
Right, and the one thing that this doesn't take into account is your tolerance on it. And so whether it's your first time drinking or it's your a billionth time drinking.
Well, and I would like to, because I hear where you're going with this, and unfortunately, just to kick in the class that I took last week, tolerance does not equal BAC.
No.
I think that's where you're leading, and that's why I want to make sure people know. Tolerance and BAC are not equivalent.
And I don't want to, I certainly don't want to suggest that, because your blood alcohol or your blood alcohol content or your breathalyzer reading is all going to be the same. But how you act or react under that, and it becomes kind of a norm. Well, if you're drunk all the time, that's your norm, and that's just how you kind of go.
That's how you function.
Right, that's how you function. So just because you have a tolerance does not mean that you're above or below your react. We've got people saying goodbye to it. That you're
sorry,
above.
Guys.
No, that's okay. That you're above or below.
Correct.
Your ability to operate a motor vehicle, and if you blow, even though you think you can operate a motor vehicle, if you blow above that, it's illegal. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, legal parameters do not equate to functional parameters.
Right. The one thing that I wanted to make sure that we talked about, and since you've had this training too, was your training in what you eat beforehand. So I was reading about how eating a bunch of carbohydrates, because what's at a place, what do you really crave when you get done eating, when you drink? You know, you want French fries, you want
tacos,
chips, you want all these kinds of things. And so, you know, this food is soaking up the alcohol, but it's actually delaying the alcohol release into your system. And
most
so
definitely.
it can prolong it, not necessarily make it short.
Which actually is a good thing. And we talked about this in the class. Obviously, you still want to have a plan. You want to have some kind of way to get home. But when you're looking at that hour breakdown, so you say 12 ounces of beer, since we're in a beer establishment, at a 5% equals 0.6 ounces of alcohol. Your body can process that in an hour. You know, most people, the average is 60 minutes, gets that 12 ounces of beer processed. When you're eating carbohydrates or heavy fat and protein style items as well, your body takes longer to digest those things. And when the alcohol is mixed with those items, it's taking a little longer to work through and metabolize those alcohols and the components that really are going to show up and make you drunk. So we follow a good eating regimen. You pace yourself well and you drink some water throughout the evening. You're probably on a good equation and a good formula for being in a legitimate and a responsible state by the time you leave.
Right, yeah. You order food, and it's not that it's making you sober. It's just it's limiting the amount of alcohol that you drink, because if you're eating at the same time as you're drinking, then that's just one other thing that you're doing.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You're not just drinking.
Especially if you're pounding beers. That's a, you know, if I'm just slamming taster after taster, there's no way your body can catch up with that type of intake, that consumption. But when you're incorporating food and water, it delays the process a little bit, and it allows your body to catch up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we just had 20 ounces of tasters in our flight, okay? And so then I had this, which is, I'm guessing, is a 16-ounce glass of water.
Let's ask the expert.
And then
the expert? Ooh, apparently I'm starting to hit my threshold.
And so
hey, Tiffany, how many ounces are in these water glasses? She's guessing 12.
12 ounces. So I'm still in a deficit because I've had two of these, so 24 ounces, and that only catches me up through the first flight. and I've had, you know, the Velvet Rooster, and I've had a couple full-blown tasters of the Fat Chance, and so it's I'm looking towards tomorrow morning when I have to get up early.
You're gonna be ready for a nap on the way home and while driving.
Right. So I'm looking forward to that, and so that I don't wake up with a hangover. And
the hydration is a big piece of the hangover. Only time can process alcohol and get you through a hangover, and that's a proven fact. People talk about all these vitamin supplements and these. You know, I think there's an article recently that a friend of ours posted about hydrating beer that will help you derail or avoid a hangover. Only time truly can cancel a hangover.
Right.
You can't get around it any other way. But by drinking water, your body stays hydrated, and it helps with the headache. It helps with the sluggish feeling because you're washing through, and the water is helping hydrate your system and get rid of those toxins.
Yeah, and unless you've got a superhuman liver, I mean, it's only processing.
And folks, that's only with our friend Wolverine. And let me just remind everyone: Wolverine's in comics and movies. He's not a real dude.
Right. So don't do whatever it is.
You don't regenerate at the rate that Wolverine does. You just have to sleep it off and work through the time that it takes to metabolize the alcohol in your system.
I think somebody here is excited about Comic-Con.
Comic-Con Ventura, coming up at the beginning of September.
Wait, it's the first time I've heard the term Wolverine come up in any one of my conversations.
Well, your kids are getting a little older. It will happen.
I don't know what that... I'm not sure about that. Well, man, we've hit a range
I'm getting a little sad right now because I feel the show ending. I feel like we should have a post-show. We had a pre-show. We should have a post-show.
Well, you know what? For those people who are still sticking around and watching... There's a post show coming, but for the rest of you,
this has been last call.
Who caught us on podcast or watching us on YouTube here? Be sure to watch Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis, and you'll also see Jason here in this show. You'll also see him in all the other episodes, and I think we could certainly do a Happy Hour CJ squared. So I mean,
this has been a fun show, and Joby, I'm sorry that you're out of town. I'm sure you're having a great time at the Attic, but this has been awesome. I appreciate you letting me sub in. For all of those individuals who are out there drinking along with us, listening along with us, hopefully you kept up, but at the same time, hopefully you had a plan. If you didn't, call We're Driving.
That's right. Get home safe. And some housekeeping, I guess. So go to... Go to iTunes and give... Happy Hour with Joby and Curtis, a 5-star rating, love us there. Podcast Pickle, there's a place to...
Podcast Pickle. I have to tell you, every time I see that logo, I chuckle to myself. Who came up with Podcast Pickle? What does a pickle have to do with a podcast?
I don't know.
But it works. It sounds fun.
Jason giggles when he sees a pickle. So whatever their rating system is over there on YouTube, you'll find these also. So like us all over the place. You can find back episodes. And then also with all these episodes, there's always extra behind-the-scenes links and information that's posted on hopheadsaid.com/happyhour. And so you can go through and catch up on, anything that we talk about.
You've had some really cool episodes. And the Happy Hour show, we talked at the beginning how I ninja my way into some of the shows because I think it's fun. I enjoy listening to what you guys have to talk about. I enjoy the guests. I like to help set up the equipment. You've had a really diverse group of guests. We've had Montalvo Tequila, Plan B Winery. So it's not just about beer. It's about spirits and wine, and it's about alcohol and the socializing aspect of drinking together.
Right, just having a happy...
It's happy hour again.
Hour
and again.
Time. And since Jason is singing, that's level 2.
check your manual on intoxication.
That is level 2 of the bystander intoxication, and I think we should call it quits for the official Happy Hour podcast, and we will be back in just a minute with a post-show. So be sure to stick around because we've got nearly full cans of Fat Chance that we've got to finish up, and we'll catch you in a couple minutes. Cheers.
Cheers.